fundamental principle I've reiterated is that the grace of the sacraments lies dormant unless you're using it. And so free will is everything. God does not impose his will upon us. He invites us to life in his Son, Jesus Christ. And so if we're not disposed to the graces that are here at the Holy Sacrifice, then within us they lie dormant, which answers the question for so many. I receive communion every week, yet I still commit the same sins. Well, it's because you're not cooperating with grace, not as you ought. And that's primarily because nowadays people take for granted the most blessed sacrament. Marriage truly is the second most abused sacrament by Catholics, but the Blessed Sacrament is the most abused by Catholics. They receive it not only in a state of mortal sin, but perhaps even more dramatically and defiantly. They receive it with indifference. They don't really care what they are doing. They don't really contemplate what is happening. They don't even think about who it is. It is God. And so many receive our Lord flippantly. So many receive our Lord with a relative indifference. And some even receive him with doubt, thinking, oh, it's only a symbol. It's only a piece of bread that's specially blessed. Woe to those who do that when they stand before the judgment seat of Christ, because the graces have been abundant for you to understand. If you don't, it's because you didn't want to. So perhaps it's an opportunity today to approach the Blessed Sacrament with a different mentality. One that is a reflection of what we see in the Gospel, because it is no coincidence that before you receive communion, you hear the priest say the words of John the Baptist, "Behold, the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God." And from that point on then, the disciples of St. John that were truly cooperating with grace stopped following John and followed Jesus. So the church invites you first to recognize who it is you are receiving, the Lamb of God. And then the church invites you, by virtue of the reality of you coming forward, to be like the disciples who follow Jesus. And then the Lord, if you cooperate with grace, may ask you that question interiorly, or perhaps you should deliberately ask it yourself. The question our Lord asked to his future disciples, Andrew and John, what are you looking for? You know, perhaps there's something to be said about the reality of what are you looking for? Why do you come up here to receive Holy Communion? Is it because it's something you always do and you don't like to break the record of doing it every Sunday? Insufficient. Foolish. You shouldn't receive communion if that's your attitude. Is it that you think it's going to keep you healthy and make you happy and make you content so you can skip and go home and then lock yourself in your house and never see anybody? No. Is it supposed to just make you feel the spiritual high, the warm fuzzies, like you're giving Jesus a big old hug and he's giving one to you? Stop receiving our Lord if that's your attitude. You must understand, as St. Augustine teaches, you receive the Blessed Sacrament so that you are transformed into Christ, not Christ being transformed into you. That is to say, you are to become like Christ, and as a laity, your call is to be ambassadors of Christ in the world, representing Christ in the world. Why do you receive communion? What are you looking for? The church informs you by virtue of the whole reality, as I oft remind you, of this altar rail itself, what is called the altar of the people in traditional teaching. It's where you offer the sacrifice of yourself. You come down and kneel before your God. And this is why you should stop bringing your children that don't receive communion to the altar rail, because they're not receiving communion. This is not a decoration. It is not something that is up here to keep the goats from getting in the sanctuary. It is not something for your kids to grab hold of without receiving communion. It is a holy thing. It is a statement of faith to come to this altar rail. And your children who are not receiving communion should not be doing it, because they're not capable of dying to themselves, as this altar rail signifies. Hopefully, you would not push your child out in front of a bus when it wasn't ready. Don't push your child up here to the altar rail when it's not ready. Stop doing it. Seriously. And consider the reality of what you're doing when you do it. Consider that you are dying to yourself. You're claiming, from this point on, I will live for Christ. And if necessary, I will die for Christ. And by that statement, that public statement, the outward sign of your kneeling at the altar rail, and again, if you're not capable of kneeling because of ailments, it's the same just to be here interiorly. Kneel. But the bottom line is that kneeling, it shows what your soul is disposing itself towards, that it knows it is about to receive its Lord and its God. And it wants to live for that God. Consider then that reality. That because you do that, because you offer yourself to Him freely, and if you are not doing this, stop receiving Holy Communion. Because that's why you're not changing. You're making a joke of it. If you're not offering yourself to Christ, He is never outdone in generosity, which is why when you offer yourself to Him at the altar rail, He gives you Himself, body, blood, soul, divinity. He gives you everything. But if you're not disposed to the proper willful mindset of the altar rail, then the graces, they lie dormant. They don't transform anything in you because you don't want to be transformed. Everything is based on your free will and your intentions that are stated. This is why you say that prayer before you receive, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. And then you come forth with your soul and your body kneeling at the rail, offering itself to the conqueror of sin and death. The nave is the world. The sanctuary is heaven. The altar rail is death. Christ is the only one who conquered death. Therefore, Christ Himself gives you the blessed sacrament at the hands of the priest. No lay minister who gives you communion is allowing you that intimacy with Christ, because only the priests act in persona Christi. It is Christ giving you Holy Communion. It is Christ giving you Himself. No wonder some of you are so adamant, and rightly so, when you're in some other church to receive communion from the priest. That is the right attitude. You want to receive it from Christ. You want to die for Christ. You want to live for Christ. One of the things that always betrays the reality of misconstruing of Holy Communion is the dearth of vocations. For 23 years I've been a priest, I've only replaced myself four times. I've only had four young men go into the priesthood in 23 years. It's pathetic. And every time I ask a young man why he wants or doesn't want to be a priest, it's always the same thing. Can't make the sacrifice. It's too much to ask. Isn't it ironic that the sacrament of holy matrimony is also a sacrament, which means it is also, like all the other sacraments, sharing in the one true sacrifice of Christ on Calvary Hill, and that marriage actually requires more sacrifice of self than the priesthood? And if I ask him, why do you want to get married? So I can have a wife and kids. Oh, they're possessions, things you own. Well, it's not going to be as easy as you think to put those things on a mantle and look at them. Because they're living, breathing human beings, the wife in particular, quite different from the man. It is a life of tremendous sacrifice. Why do you think Christ then gives you Himself, body, blood, soul, divinity, to do it? Why is it that at the Catholic marriage ritual, the Mass, the Holy Sacrifice follows? Because you're saying by getting married, I'm going to live like Christ, for Christ, through Christ, in Christ. I'm going to live a life of self-sacrifice. And I cannot do it without grace. I cannot do it without His help. I cannot do it without His example. Because we know love makes all sacrifice bearable. Too many couples live marriage selfishly. Too many are looking for the perfect situation. Too many are doing it for all the wrong reasons. That's why the graces lie so dormant. And the world is not being changed by those who are living it out as ambassadors of Christ in the sacrament of holy matrimony. Something is missing, and what is missing is our cooperation with grace. We're too self-centered, we're too self-absorbed, we're too self-consumed. The altar rail is the opportunity to end that. The opportunity to embrace self-sacrifice, to configure your soul to Christ so that you'll be transformed. And you'll become more like Him. You'll live a more charitable life. You'll understand that, yes, as a priest, I have an intimacy with Christ that you cannot have that fulfills all other needs. And yes, you'll understand that as a husband and a father, as St. Paul says, you have to be more concerned about your spouse than God, which makes it a bigger sacrifice than mine. Because I am configured to Christ. I stick with Him. The altar is everything for me. But our Lord is still good enough to give you the graces to live out that life, that great sacrifice of being more separate from Him, but at the same time, becoming holy by dying to yourself for your spouse and your children. Never once has a young man told me he wants to get married because he wants to become holy and he wants to live like Christ. But that's the point of the holy sacrament of matrimony. It's always about wanting wife and kids and being happy. The perfect job, the perfect house. Why do they not say, I'm getting married to imitate Christ. I'm getting married to live for Christ. Because perhaps they're not receiving the graces that Christ affords them in the Blessed Sacrament. The root of all the other sacraments, given that it is Christ. And it is a representation of His one true sacrifice on Calvary Hill. Now is the time to start cooperating with grace. Now is the time to recognize that Jesus is very deliberate when He says to Andrew and John, what are you looking for? He wanted them to consent freely to what He offered them. And you know what He gave them, by the way, when they said they wanted to see where He was living? Do you know where He was living? Not in some nice house with a picket fence and a minivan in the driveway. He was living as people who had no homes did at the time when they were traveling. He was living in a shelter he built himself, made of leaves and branches up against a wall to protect him from the dew at night and the bitter spring wind in the morning. He showed them next to nothing. And Andrew was so excited at what he saw because his encounter was with Christ and not with where Christ was living, but his encounter with Christ, that he ran back and got his brother Simon Peter to go back with him. If you live marriage out the right way, it's the same dynamic, isn't it? That you call others to Christ by your example, that you call others to Christ by the simplicity of your life, that you call others to Christ by your encounter with Christ. Too many people obsess over their spouses and make them the Messiah. And then they wonder why they're so unhappy and unsure. It's because Christ is not the center. Your spouse is. Consider what holiness means. And most of you are called by God to live out holiness in the sacrament of holy matrimony. Holy matrimony. And therefore this great sacrament is the means by which you make the world holy. Do not underestimate the graces that God will send you. Because remember, our Lord changes the water into wine at the wedding feast of Cana when He makes it a sacrament secretly. Only the waiters know what happened. God works wonders if you're His instrument, and He will work graces that you're not aware of if you're living marriage in accord with the mind and plan of God. If not, then you're only obstructing grace. You're only getting in the way of God's plan of salvation because you yourself are rejecting it. Consider putting all that behind you when you come and kneel at the altar rail. Consider devoting yourself entirely to Christ. Recognize that this is your God that you're receiving and beg Him to change you. All you need to do is act with your will and Christ will respond. But if you come up here and receive it indifferently, or you don't care, or you don't believe He's really present, or it's just routine, nothing's going to happen, except in the end, it's going to be quite hard for you when you stand for the judgment seat of Christ. After so much repeated rejection of Him, He will indeed reject you. Do not let it be so. Use the graces that are there by configuring yourself to them. Kneel at the altar and offer yourself fully to Him. And then be like Samuel and say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.